Ruth chapter 3, beginning with the very first verse. One day, Naomi, Ruth's mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, should I not try to find a home for you where you'll be well provided for? Is not Boaz, with whose servant girls you've been working, a kinsman of ours? Tonight he will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor. Wash and perfume yourself and put on your best clothes. Then go down to the threshing floor, but don't let him know you are there until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, note the place where he is lying. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do." "I'll do whatever you say," Ruth answered. So she went down to the threshing floor and did everything her mother-in-law told her to do. When Boaz had finished eating and drinking and was in good spirits, he went over to lie down at the far end of the grain pile. Ruth approached quietly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. In the middle of the night, something startled the man, and he turned and discovered a woman lying at his feet. "Who are you?" he asked. "I'm your servant Ruth," she said. "Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a kinsman redeemer." "The Lord bless you, my daughter," he replied. "This kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier. You've not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I'll do for you all you ask. All my fellow townsmen know that you are a woman of noble character. Although it is true that I am a near of kin, there is a kinsman redeemer nearer than I. Stay here for the night, and in the morning, if he wants to redeem, good, let him redeem. But if he is not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. Lie here till morning." So she lay at his feet until morning, but got up before anyone could be recognized, and he said, "Don't let it be known that a woman came to the threshing floor." He also said, "Bring me the shawl you are wearing and hold it out." When she did so, he poured into it 6 measures of barley and put it on her. Then he went back to town. When Ruth came to her mother-in-law, Naomi asked, "How did it go, my daughter?" Then Ruth told her everything Boaz had done for her and added, "He gave me these 6 measures of barley, saying, 'Don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed.'" Then Naomi said, "Wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens, for the man will not rest until the matter is settled today." As we come to this chapter in Ruth, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we look to you this morning, again, that this not just be, again, a love story that happened 3,000 years ago. But Lord, may we see in these words, in this story, things that apply to us today. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. When Naomi, along with Ruth, her daughter-in-law, returned to Bethlehem after spending 10 miserable years in Moab, Naomi told everyone to stop calling her Naomi, which means pleasant, and to instead call her Mara, which means bitter. After all that they had been through, Naomi and Ruth expected to live out their lives as poor, destitute widows, living off the gleanings of the fields of others in the little tiny town of Bethlehem. But God had other plans for them, and he directed Ruth's steps to the field of Boaz, who just happened to be a relative of Naomi's husband. In Ruth chapter 2, verse 20, Naomi told Ruth that Boaz is our close relative. He's one of our kinsmen redeemers. According to Leviticus 25, a near relative could redeem property or even people that had been mortgaged or sold because the original family member had fallen on hard times. Such a person is called a kinsman redeemer. He could pay the price for those who couldn't redeem themselves. In a similar way, Jesus Christ is our kinsman redeemer. Turn to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Beginning of verse 3. Galatians chapter 4, beginning of verse 3. Paul wrote this: "So also, when we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. But when the time had fully come, that is at just the right time, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights as sons." Jesus Christ came to die to redeem us, to be our kinsman redeemer, to pay the penalty for our sins. John 1:12 says, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. About 6 weeks have passed since Ruth started gleaning in Boaz's fields. Because God has been at work, empty and bitter Naomi has changed. She now has hope for the future. And with this hope, and since she was responsible for Ruth, Naomi had come up with a plan. Ruth should marry Boaz. Since she could tell from Ruth's report that Boaz looked on Ruth with favor, Naomi set about to get things moving forward. In those days of Ruth, and for that matter, even some countries today, it's the parents who arrange marriages. And so what Naomi did was acceptable and was correct. First, Ruth prepared to meet Boaz. Today's scripture began with Naomi asking Ruth, my daughter, should I not try to find a home or security for you where you'll be well provided for? From what Boaz says later on in this chapter, it appears that there were other men, younger men, who would gladly have married Ruth, but they could not have redeemed her or Naomi. Only a kinsman redeemer could do that. Since it was barley harvest, Naomi knew that Boaz would be using the threshing floor that night. So she set about to prepare Ruth to meet Boaz there. Naomi directed Ruth to do four things in preparation for this encounter. First, she needed to wash herself. After working the field all day, she needed to wash off the dirt and the grime to make herself more presentable. Second, she needed to perfume or anoint herself. After a hard day of working in the sun, people that day used fragrant oils to protect and to heal their bodies and to make themselves more pleasing to others. Third, she was to change her clothes. She was to take off her clothes of widowhood and mourning and dress up. And finally, Ruth had to learn how to present herself to Boaz. What Ruth was about to do wasn't improper, but as a Gentile, it was all new to her. She had to learn the one way for redemption. This was the only way Ruth could offer herself to her kinsman redeemer. She had to put herself at the feet of the Lord of the harvest and let him do the rest. Trusting in her mother-in-law, Ruth said, I will do whatever you say. So after she finished her preparations, Ruth went down to the threshing floor. The end of harvest time was a joyful time. Finally, as they worked on the threshing floor, the laborers could see the results of their dirty, sweaty work in the field. The floor itself was usually clay soil that had been packed hard and smooth. Usually it was circular, with rocks along the edges. It'd be outside the village, on a hill, where the evening breeze would be caught. Sheaves of grain would be spread on the floor and trampled by oxen drawing some kind of a sledge behind them, sometimes beating the stalks by hand. Once the grain was separated from the stalks, the workers would throw the grain into the air. The breeze would carry the chaff away while the kernels of grain would fall to the floor. Then the grain would be piled up to be carried away for marketing or for storage. As long as the evening wind blew, they'd be working on the threshing floor. But when the evening wind died down, there'd be a banquet. And after the feast was over, the men would sleep among the grain. Since the threshing floor was generally circular, they would put their heads towards the grain and their feet would stick out. This way they would protect the grain from thieves who might try to sneak in and steal it if nobody was there. This was a scene when Ruth arrived to place herself at the feet of Boaz as she prepared to ask him to obey the law of the kinsman redeemer. So Ruth approached quietly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. By lying at his feet, she was submitting herself to Boaz. Under Naomi's guidance, Ruth was forcing the issue, and now Boaz would have to take the next step. Boaz was more than a little surprised when he woke up in the middle of the night and found a woman sleeping at his feet. And when he asked who she was, she said, I am your servant Ruth. She didn't call herself the Moabitess anymore, but your servant Ruth. Ruth was making a new beginning. Boaz hadn't acted on his own. Perhaps he expected her to marry one of the younger men in Bethlehem. Ruth, later on, chapter 4, seems to indicate that Boaz was an older man, and Ruth was a younger woman. Perhaps he didn't feel he had a chance. But a more important reason for Boaz not acting was, as he said, there is a kinsman redeemer nearer than I in town who has the first option as kinsman redeemer for Ruth and the property. And Boaz was probably waiting for him to act. But with Ruth's actions, the waiting had come to an end. Ruth asked Boaz to spread the corner of your garment over me. To spread one's garment over a person meant to claim that person for yourself, particularly in marriage. Speaking to Judah, God said in Ezekiel chapter 16, "Later I passed by, and when I looked at you and saw that you were old enough for love, I spread the corner of my garment over you and covered your nakedness. I gave you my solemn oath and entered into a covenant with you, and you became mine." The word translated corner in NIV, skirt, I think, in King James, can also mean wing. Back in Ruth chapter 2, verse 12, Ruth had already come under the wings of the Lord, the God of Israel, and now she would be under the wings of Boaz. Through her actions, through her words, Ruth willingly submitted to Boaz. And because of her submission, Ruth listened to Boaz. Boaz could have refused to do anything about this whole issue. But because of his love for her and his love for God's law, Boaz accepted her. He even called her my daughter as he blessed her. And then he reassured her. In the darkness of the night, he reassured her as he said, "Don't be afraid. I will do for you all that you ask." However, since there was a man in Bethlehem who was a nearer kinsman, what seemed to be a simple procedure to Naomi and Ruth turned out to be a little bit more complicated. But Boaz would see that one way or another, Ruth and Naomi would be redeemed. When she worked in the fields, as you may remember, Ruth had received special treatment from Boaz. His workers had allowed her to follow really close to the harvesters. They'd protected her from harm. They even dropped some sheaves for her to pick up. Boaz himself had shared a noon meal with her. And now Boaz gave her even more grain. Ruth received gifts from Boaz. He wasn't just concerned about Ruth's future. He also met her present needs in a very generous way. She hadn't asked him for anything, but he gave her the grain because he loved her. And finally, Ruth returned home. Home to wait. When Ruth returned home with the grain and Boaz's promises, Naomi said, "So how did it go?" Actually, in the Hebrew, Naomi said, "So who are you, my daughter?" In other words, Naomi was asking, "Are you still Ruth the Moabitess? Or are you the prospective Mrs. Boaz?" So Ruth told Naomi about her conversation with Boaz and then showed her the generous gift Boaz had given her. Naomi could no longer say that her hands were empty. They were full because of the grace and the favor of the kinsman redeemer. Ruth's faith in God and obedience to God and Naomi had brought about complete change in their lives. Since Ruth and Naomi believed that Boaz would carry out what he said he would do, they now had to wait patiently until they received the good news that Ruth would be a bride. So Naomi counseled Ruth to wait. She would do no good following Boaz all around Bethlehem, trying to get him to keep his promises. Naomi was confident that Boaz would be busy working for Ruth and that he wouldn't rest until the matter was settled. The midnight meeting, Ruth prepared to meet Boaz. She washed herself. She put on perfume. She changed her clothes. She learned how to present herself to Boaz. Then at the threshing floor, she submitted to Boaz, and she listened to Boaz. As he accepted her, he blessed her, and he reassured her. And then she received gifts from Boaz. And probably the hardest part of all, Ruth then returned home to wait. The story of Ruth, again, isn't just a love story about the marriage of an alien, a Gentile widow, to a respected Jew. It's also a picture of Christ's relationship to those who trust him, who belong to him. And the steps that Ruth took to enter into a deeper relationship with Boaz, we can also see the steps that God's people must take if they want to enter into a deeper relationship with the Lord. Like Ruth, it's not just the gifts that we should seek, but the giver himself. First, we must prepare to meet God. We must prepare to meet God. 2 Corinthians 7 verse 1 says, "Since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness and reverence for God." Like Ruth, we need to get rid of the dirt and grime in our lives, the sin that contaminates us. Turn to James chapter 4, the book of James chapter 4. James chapter 4, beginning in verse 7. James 4, verse 7. James writes, "Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." When we confess our sins, 1 John 1, 9 tells us that God will forgive us. But confessing means that we need to put out of our lives those things that defile us, the things that make us dirty. As we prepare to meet God, we need to get rid of sin in our lives. And after washing, Ruth anointed herself so that she smelled good. When we become Christians, 1 John 2:20 says, "You have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth." We all have the Holy Spirit. But if we're going to smell good, that is, if we're going to be the Christians that God wants us to be, then as Paul wrote in Ephesians 5:18, we must be filled with the Holy Spirit. If we're going to be useful to God, if we're going to smell good to him, we must allow the Holy Spirit to fill us, to use us. Finally, we can't come into God's presence in our own righteousness. As Isaiah 64 verse 4 says, "All our righteous acts are like filthy rags." Philippians 3 9 says, "We can come only in the righteousness of Jesus Christ." If you want to enter into a deeper relationship with your Lord and your Savior, you must come to him with a clean heart and a clean mind. Turn back to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10, beginning in verse 19. Hebrews 10, verse 19 begins like this. "Therefore, brothers, fellow Christians, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." We need to prepare to meet God. We need to get rid of sin. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to come with a clean heart and a clean mind. After preparing herself, Ruth came to Boaz, where she submitted to him. In a similar manner, when we come before God, as we read earlier in James chapter 4, we need to submit to God. We need to recognize who God is. As Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 64 verse 8, "We are the clay, you are the potter. We are all the work of your hands." Paul tells us what to do way back in Romans. Turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Paul writes this way in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, or Christians, really, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. When we come to God seeking a deeper relationship, fellowship with him, like Boaz, he won't refuse us. In John 6, verse 37, Jesus said, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away." Speaking to Christians in Revelation 3, verse 20, Jesus said, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me." God could force his way in, but he waits for us to invite him in. And just as Boaz reassured Ruth, God reassures us. In John 14:1, Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me." In Matthew 28:20, Jesus said, "Surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." Boaz was concerned about the redemption of Ruth. God has the same concern for us. In Ezekiel 18, God said, "The soul who sins is the one that will die." But God brought about our salvation through Jesus Christ. Romans 8:32 says, "He did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all." Jesus is our kinsman redeemer. He is the only way. In John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." We must submit to God, and he'll take care of us. And finally, after Ruth had been with Boaz, she returned home and waited for him to work. Just as Naomi was confident that Boaz would not rest until the matter is settled today, we can be sure, as Philippians 1:6 says, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. We need to wait for the Lord. Psalmist wrote in Psalms 46, verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God." The Hebrew word translated "be still" could be translated "take your hands off, relax." It's easy for us to get impatient with the Lord and start interfering with things we should just leave alone. He is God. His hand can accomplish the impossible. Our hands may just get in the way and make matters worse. We need to put ourselves at the feet of the Lord of creation and wait. Submit ourselves to him. He will do the rest. Wait on the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you, we prepare ourselves. Lord, help us to look at our lives. Help us, Lord, to get rid of the sin that we pick up as we walk through this world. Lord, help us to yield to your Holy Spirit. Let us be moved as you would have us to move. Lord, cleanse our hearts. Cleanse our minds. Lord, help us to wait, which is probably the hardest thing for us to do, Lord, is to wait for you. But help us, Lord, to look to you. You alone can take care of the things that are in our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.